This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Cady. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Not so long ago, games with names like Theater of Magic, Twilight Zone, and Star Wars Trilogy ruled the day at arcades across the country. With their flippers and small silver balls, pinball machines required a lot of hand-eye coordination, and they always got you an audience if you were running up a great score. At one point, pinball was a multi-billion dollar industry, but then came the first video games and pinball's popularity took a huge dive. Now, pinball is getting a new life in the Queen City. Bill Broha writes about it in this month's Cincinnati Magazine in an article called Pinball Wizards. He and Mark Combs, who owns a pinball repair shop, are both huge fans of the game, and they join us to talk about the history of pinball and the glorious resurrection it's experiencing. And what was your favorite pinball game when you were younger, and do you still play the game? Join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Mark and Bill, thanks for being here this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You know, speaking of flippers, Bill, when did those come into play on pinball machines?
They were introduced in 1947, and they introduced flippers because pinball was considered gambling up until that point.
Interesting.
And they added the flippers to turn it into a game of skill. And so they could dodge the accusation of gambling. And that lasted for a while in certain places, but there are certain places where pinball was still considered gambling, and they had versions of pinball machines that you couldn't win free games. And because that's a part of the gambling.
Right.
This is you'd return the free games to the establishment for a fee. And where I grew up in Wisconsin is one of the states where they banned gambling. And so they had to have certain pinball machines that were called add-a-ball machines. You couldn't win free games on them. You could win extra balls and keep playing basically forever if you kept adding balls.
Mark, you got any familiarity with that?
Well, it's interesting. The first game with the flippers in 1947, Gottlieb Humpty Dumpty, not only had two flippers, it had six. So it was kind of an interesting thing. Not only did they have flippers, but they had six. So it was kind of a neat apparatus that they came up with there.
Boy, you really need some hand-eye coordination for that one.
Yeah. It didn't last too long, though. Shortly after that, they went back to two.
There were certain machines that did have, like, four flippers. And I never liked those machines because you would go to hit the ball, and the ball would slip in between the flippers and gone.
Right down the middle, yeah.
Bill, pinball actually traces its origins farther back than 1947, though, and doesn't Cincinnati play a key role in pinball's history?
There was a game that was very popular at the time. It's called Bagatelle, which is kind of like snooker. It involved a pool cue and basically a pool billiard sort of table. And a gentleman, an English gentleman, who did business here in Cincinnati, created a patent in 1871. This is when he was granted the patent called Improvement in Bagatelles. And what he did was eliminated the pool cue and introduced the flipper, which no, the plunger, which is now familiar on the right side of the machine, decreased the size of the playing field, and had a couple of other innovations like tilting the play field. And basically, in 1871, you had what basically became the pinball machine.
Now, Bill, what got you hooked on pinball in the first place? You're a big fan of the game, right?
Oh, yes. It was college. It was a very social game. You'd go out with your friends and play pinball, and I worked on a student newspaper at the time, and we would take a break, go downstairs to the local brew house and play pinball, and then go back up to the college newspaper.
You know, that was my experience with pinball as well. It was a social thing. My friends played it, so I played it. Whatever game they were playing, that was the game I happened to like. And you know, there's something addictive about the game, too, because it's such a great combination of skill and luck. And to this day, when I come across a pinball machine, I still feel compelled to play it. In fact, many times I do. Mark, what about you? What got you hooked on this game?
Well, I played them a lot when I was younger, but what kind of got me back into it, I'm a big Rolling Stones fan. In 2003, I found the game on eBay, and it was in disrepair, so I bought it. Never knew anything about pinball machines or anything like that. And I really had a lot of fun fixing it up and getting it repaired. And so from there on, I started buying them and had several hundred since. So just kind of caught the bug, and now I can't get enough of it.
So, Bill, what are your favorite pinball games, past and present?
The two machines that I actually have in my basement are my are the games I played a lot in college. One is called Astro. It's an Adderall machine from one of the major manufacturers, Gottlieb. And the other is called Gold Strike, which is also an Adderall Gottlieb. 70 and 72 were the years from that.
Mark, what about you? What were some of the other favorites that you played?
Well, I like Indiana Jones is one of my favorite. I like a lot of the ones that were the movie themes, Addams Family, Twilight Zone. The ones I prefer are the games from the 1990s. Kind of the ones I prefer to play, and that's the ones I collect.
You actually have two factions here. You have the electromechanical faction.
Right.
And I'm more speaking right now, right. And Mark is...
I'm more of the solid-state genre from 1977 on. That's when they made the transition, was from 1977. So anything made before that was relay logic. Anything after that was circuit boards.
So, Bill, what you're talking about is the old-school type of pinball machine that was more maybe analog. It had a rotating scorekeeper and instead of the electronic ones that you see nowadays. So that's a major division among pinball people, eh?
Yes and no. It's more of a preference than anything else.
Right.
I've played a number of solid-state machines that I've enjoyed a lot, Flash and Black Knight and Gorgar, which a lot of people would recognize if you ever were in a brew house. You know, I am a Gorgar.
Right, that was the first talking. Yeah, the first talking machine, Gorgar.
That was the one where you looked around and you went, what was that? Where did that come from? Bill, did pinball have a golden age, so to speak, of what time frame would that have been?
Boy, the history of pinball, it had certain ages. Did it have a single golden age? It was very hot at the time, and for those of you on the radio, I'm showing a copy of the Cincinnati Inquirer article I wrote in 1981.
Yes, okay.
And it was very hot at the time. And it cooled off, as you said, because of the video games. Before then, it was very hot in various ways. It was hot in the 50s. Where people were playing quite a bit. And you would find pinball machines in beauty salons. And, of course, you couldn't walk into an airport at one point in time without having at least one video game arcade. Most bars had three and four machines at least.
Bowling alleys?
Bowling, of course.
Sometimes it even was noisier than the alleys themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So... Well, we'll have more about pinball's new life in the Queen City after the break. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests are Bill Brohaw and Mark Combs as we talk about the resurrection pinball is experiencing in Cincinnati. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Bill, would you say that Pac-Man was the ultimate blow to pinball when it came out in 1980?
With the with the precursor Space Invaders, but it was Pac-Man, and Pac-Man, yeah, Waka 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 would be gobbling up quarters faster than it did those little balls on the screen.
Yeah, I've heard stories. In fact, I think it was in the article you wrote about somebody who went in and was collecting the coins from the Pac-Man machines, and the bags were just stuffed to the hilt and were overflowing and breaking, weren't they?
And it was kind of a blow to video games because everybody expected that this would be a huge gold mine forever. Right. And then home video games came along, and the video games you can play at home are far superior than many of the arcade games. But what they don't have is that ambiance and that fun value. And
I don't think you can duplicate that with your TV set. So that's why, you know, the resurgence of pinball. You know, you got to have a machine to play the steel ball. You're not going to be able to do it with your TV set. And so I think that's why we're starting to see people really wanting to have them and put them in their basements and want them for their game rooms, you know.
Is there a bit of nostalgia as well, Mark?
I think so. Usually people, when I get calls for games, they want ones that they played when they were younger. They're looking for a certain model. More times than not, they just don't say, I'm looking for a game. I want 1977 Bally Truck Stop. That's the one I used to play when I was younger, and that's the one I feel comfortable with. And so I do think there's some nostalgia there.
What do you think, Mark? Nostalgia driving a lot of this? Or Bill, I'm sorry.
Nostalgia, I think, is very important because one of the things that one of the quotes that in the article that I did was just how even the sounds of pinball machines, the sounds that you played at the beginning of the show, right, would bring back all sorts of memories. The sounds of my pinball machines bring back memories of friends and some of the camaraderie. We used to play one person to a flipper, and so we'd be
right,
team up on
oh,
the
yeah,
machine.
Yeah, they'll have tournaments that way where you'll have partners and each person will have a flipper. And so it's kind of an exciting way to play.
So it's a real social experience.
Right, exactly. I had some friends over at my house. We have a pinball league here in Cincinnati, and we have about 30 players. And so they were over at my house last week and had a big get-together and had a pinball tournament.
How common are the pinball tournaments becoming?
Well, I mean, in this area, we usually have our get-togethers once a month. But they are going to have, you know, there's other shows here. They have one in Louisville next weekend called the Louisville Arcade Expo, just a couple hours away. And so there'll be a big tournament there. People will be coming from all over to play in that one.
Have you seen anyone rigging the new pinball machines in commercial settings so they take credit cards or debit cards instead of quarters? Is that something?
Yeah,
I think that's
something new that they're getting into, especially, you know, at some of these newer arcades and stuff. They're getting into the credit card readers as opposed to the coins, you know.
Now, Bill, when you were writing the article, what kinds of things did you see? Who did you talk to? What kinds of things and places did you see that made you realize there was a resurgence going on for pinball in the Queen City?
One of the major places that it was Porter's Pinball Parlor on Main Street in Over the Rhine. 15 machines and a very passionate owner, Brian Porter, and some of the classic machines, including one that I played to death. You mentioned favorites is Playboy, and it starts out with a wolf whistle.
Right.
What are some of the other things you saw too that made you realize that this is making a comeback?
The discussion of passion with whoever you talk to, there was passion, and two elements I think that are very important is the element of the home pinball machine, and Mark can discuss that. He's done a lot of that, but also the customization of the machines. And
right,
making the machines their own.
I definitely think that's a big part of it. You know, we like to do custom things, whether it be custom legs, paint them the color we like them, LED lighting as opposed to incandescent lighting, custom modifications on the playing surface, things like that. So there's just a lot you can do to make it your own, and I think that's an important part of it.
So it's kind of like customizing your car.
Exactly.
Is that the same thought?
Yes.
In fact, there's one I was particularly appreciative of. It's a machine called CSI Crime Scene Investigation, and that is Stern.
Stern, right. That was at my friend Phoebe's house.
One of the major manufacturers is Stern out of Chicago, still existing and probably the only major manufacturer still going. But Phoebe Smith, who's portrayed in the article, customized that. And one of the elements that I really liked was a bit of police tape that
crime
said...
Crime scene tape, yeah.
Crime scene tape that said, do not cross.
Really?
Put on the front, among other elements that she did, right, but I thought that was genius.
Do you think that's one of the things that makes a pinball machine so enchanting is the fact that it's big, you can customize it, you can do all kinds of things with a pinball machine that you can't do with an online or a video game.
Right, there's no doubt. I mean, there's just so many things out there. There's companies online that's all they do is make pinball aftermarket parts. So it's definitely big business. That's part of the fun of the game is being able to have it the way you like it, custom lighting and different figurines and maybe things on top. Some people, like on my games, I like to put different tops on top there, like, you know, my Star Trek game, I'll have a spaceship on top of there that was on that, you know, pinball machine. Indiana Jones, some people have a bullwhip and a hat, you know, certain things, you know, to kind of make it your own.
Now, you were talking about local pinball tournaments earlier and getting together. What's the local pinball group?
Well, it's called Cincy Pinball, the group that I belong to, and Phoebe's the president, and we just kind of hang out. There's really not that many places to play here locally. I mean, there's a few, but normally we go to a different person's house every month. They host it, and we play there, keep our scores, and at the end of the year we'll have a playoff, and it'll be trophies and prizes.
Now, do you have customers across the country, or are they mainly just in town?
Mainly in the tri-state area, but I do ship games. You know, sometimes I'll sell them on eBay, and other times they'll be looking for certain games. I've shipped them as far as California.
So the Internet's kind of played a role in helping the comeback of pinballs?
Right, definitely.
It used to be classified ads, and there used to be a couple of trade journals that were devoted to arcade games and pinball, and that's where I found my Gold Strike was, and I had it shipped in from New York and packed it into it. It befuddled the folks at the freight company that where this big truck comes in and the box comes in. I stuck it in a 78 Ford Fairmont and drove it home.
So from your perspective, Mark, what are some of the other things that you're seeing that give you an indication that this game's making a comeback?
Well, I just see, you know, at the pinball shows I go to throughout the country, there are just more and more people. It seems like every year they're setting records on how many people are attending. Just more people wanting to participate, more games there. A lot of the shows, if you bring a pinball machine to the show, you get in for free. So every year it seems like there's more and more games, just more people into it. You see more stuff in print and media. You just seems like there's a lot more activity there. And, of course, I do a lot more service than what I did. You know, I started 10 years ago. I stay really busy with that in-home service because people, they get new games, they need to get them fixed, so keeps me going.
Now, you mentioned tournaments for fun and prizes. Are there national big cash tournaments as like there are for online games?
Right. I think that the big one is the one in Pittsburgh called Papa, and I know they have that a couple times a year, but that's the big one, and that's where all the big players, the top players from all over the world, they come to play there. I don't know a lot about that. I'm not really a tournament player. I don't really play very well. My specialty is working on them. But unfortunately, my play is not that great. But
you're also seeing a number of places devoted to games in general and with pinball on the side, such as Arcade Legacy and The Place and various other places around the tri-state area.
So we're seeing this around Cincinnati. Are we seeing the same thing nationally?
I think so.
I think so. The tournaments and all the different things going on.
Right. They had the 30th anniversary of the pinball show in Chicago. You know, Chicago's kind of the heart of pinball. That's where they're all made at. And so they have a trade show there every year, and every year it just gets bigger. And last year was the 30th year anniversary. So they had a lot of speakers there from the first expo and things like that. So it was really a special occasion last year.
So, Bill, as you conclude in your article, pinball isn't dead yet. Do you think it ever gets back to anything close to its the days where it was the king of the arcade?
It won't, and Mark can explain the physicality of that. But there's a certain passion that you have to have, a certain level of nostalgia, and a certain, shall we say, size of wallet.
Right. Yeah, the pinball machine just requires so much maintenance, you know, unlike a video game. Where you might have a golden tee or something like that. They really just have to get the money out. There's really no maintenance involved with those. The pinball machines, you have bands that break, balls that get stuck, light bulbs burn out. There's just, it's quite a bit of maintenance.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing that it has
going
against it.
The biggest drawback to it.
Right.
Well, Mark and Bill, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon.
That's fine.
Thank you.
Bill Brohaw and Mark Combs. Bill's article is in Cincinnati Magazine this month called Pinball Wizards. And Mark Combs is the owner of a pinball repair shop.